I'm Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
I launched this podcast in late June, early July, but summer, and it was warm enough outside. We're north, but warmer. So I'd come down here to do the podcast, no problem. I haven't been down here for the winter too much. Just started to get cold in the last few weeks, and, you know, significantly. So I bought myself a heater. This is the story of today. This is how important. This is a crucial episode, you guys. I have a heater, and it's remote. You know why? Because it's like 3 feet from my desk, and I don't want to have to get up for 3 feet and walk over and turn on something. That's insane. Why would I want to do that? So I have a remote control on my desk to power on and off the heater that's 3 feet from my desk. That's called technology, everybody, and it's making me a better person. You know what else is making me a better person? This freaking hot coffee that I'm drinking. On today is New Year's Eve, the day before New Year's Eve. That's also relevant. I hope everybody's well. You took a little time off for the holidays. Not a bunch, but like 13 days. That's not that much, right? But I thought I'd whip one more episode in before the actual New Year hits for those of you. And listening, you may be listening to this after New Year's, in which case you're like, again, irrelevant. Sid, the heater story was better than this. Can you go back to that? Sure, I can. It can oscillate. It oscillates, and it also, the little louver, go up and down. The oscillating and the louvers are going up and down. I spare no expense at Costco for a heater. No expense. Okay, so look, I'm going to get into some not New Year's resolution-y, blatantly new. I get bored by the whole New Year's. I'm not anti-New Year's resolution, never have been. I want to reframe it. This is about, you know, my podcast and everything I do is about mindset. This is mindset. This is how we look at things. I'm all for New Year's resolutions. Just how we frame them in our minds and how we execute them, that's the most important thing. The reason why, two things happen. One, that people make New Year's resolutions and don't stick to them. Two, people do diets and don't stick with them because it's all about the implementation. We know what we want. Fine. If New Year's resolutions help you get a clear vision of what you want, that's knowledge. Great. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Okay, good. Get clear on the knowledge. Excellent. Okay, and then don't ever go back to that because now you got to get the work done. You've got to. Sometimes I think, like, if we just accepted as adults about four truths, no, there would be never a podcast necessary, never another YouTube video necessary, definitely never social media. Like, we'd go like, okay, this is just how it is. Like, now I just got to get to work. I don't need to kind of revisit this 1,500 times. I just got to get to work. But we have to keep doing this because we're in the fight, guys, right? We're in the fight. We get tempted. We're tempted by things, okay? We're tempted by things. Technology is a perfect example. It's making us softer. Not harder. It's making us softer. So we got to counteract. We always have to be in counter mode of getting the fight in, right? Right? Am I right about that? I am right about that. You're damn right I'm right about that. Social media, I haven't missed it. Have not missed it. I have to tell you, like, I really, really haven't missed it. And it's been, like, I think the reason is because I'm using more brain now. I think it was just not as much brain power was at stake. And now I'm going, wow, I just think more. And that's not a bad thing at all. And I don't mean think like, you know, brood. I mean think like, what am I going to do? What am I going to write about? What's my YouTube channel going to be like? What's about my screenplay? What about my music that's coming up? Like, cool things. So speaking of music, the freaking band has not settled on, they wanted to have input in the set list. I go, fine, input in the set. Haven't heard back from them. Been a month. I go, just freaking decide so that I can learn my songs again, because I got to learn my songs again. So settle on this freaking set list so I can get to work, so it's not a travesty when I show up in Los Angeles. I was bullied in sixth grade by a guy named Darren. Is that relevant? I think so. The name Darren, it is a bullying name. It's a bully's name, Darren. I mean, it is. I was bullied in sixth grade. The reason why I talk about this is one reason is that it's not pleasant for me to talk about, but necessary. And so I'm all about things that aren't pleasant but necessary in a way, right? Because, like, you know, doing the hard work of making your life better, doing the hard work of even getting, I took out this morning, I wanted to sleep in, or so I thought, but in the bigger me said, hey, you don't really want to sleep in. You actually do want to go for a trail run with Sid. You haven't, you know, it's been, you don't run that much these days. Like, this sounds amazing. You're going to hate this in the morning when you get up, but you want to do this. You freaking want to do this. Big boy Sid, not little guy, child Sid, but big boy Sid said, you want to get this done. So I got up in the cold and in my sweats and a big, you know, in a freaking, you know, hat, and got in the car at 7 o'clock this morning, which isn't even crazy early, and took a trail run. Guess what? Big surprise. Totally happy I did it. Amazingly fun. Went out with Sid and this girl, Rachel. Nice talks. Time went really fast. It was amazing. Great, beautiful run. A little wet. Big boy. Who's a big boy? Sid, I said that to the mirror when I go, who's a big boy? Who did the big boy thing? I said. That's where my practice has evolved. I'm all about, like, in small steps, I'm like, guys, just get in front of a mirror and go, who's a big girl? Who's a big girl? Who's a big boy? Who did a big boy thing today? And I have gotten a great response from that. People are like, that worked. Finally, that's the thing that tipped the scales. I was bullied in sixth grade, and I think about it from time to time, and I'm just in I'm reading another book on stress, and I'm listening to, you know, things that I listen to, and it's a weird, I'm in a kind of a purgatory on this, because on one hand I'm like, it happened. I wish it hadn't happened, I guess, but I kind of am happy that it did. Isn't that weird? And that's the purgatory of it. I'm glad I handled it exactly the way I handled it. At the same time, totally wish I had handled it differently. Again, just like this weird thing, because it was traumatizing. And for some reason of late, I've been thinking about it. I think probably because I have a 14-year-old and I've got 9-year-old twins. I'm kind of, you know, the kids are, they're doing their thing, and I'm raising bullies. I'm like, guys, would you bully? Because I got bullied and it sucks. So just go do the bullying. I'm kidding. Ugh. Yeah. I want to get that mean email. No. And so I've been thinking of it of late. I don't know. I'll put it this way. I value that experience because it did help me define myself years later. And while I wish I had behaved differently, I guess it's very hard to say that, because it's never easy to go like, I wish I'd done this, because then other things could have happened that you don't know. It happened the way that it happened, and I don't want to make it okay necessarily that I behaved the way that I'll tell you what I did. It traumatized me. It's frankly, like, I didn't get into a fight. I was like, it was a group of guys. And look, in my, you know, over the years in my brain, in the movie that I play, I did it, and I fought back, and I won in that movie. It's amazing. Multiple guys, and I was like 4'10". This is true, guys. I was 5 feet when I got into high school. 5 feet flat. I was 5'3" when I got my driver's license. I was the shortest kid in school. And then all of a sudden, you know, by the time I graduated high school, I'm 5'11". I grew another 2 inches in college. I'm 6'1". But for a long time, I was like that little kid, and I was being harassed and bullied in school in sixth grade. In my movie, I take him to the mat, but then I have to remember I didn't have a Mr. Miyagi. I ain't got no Mr. Miyagi, right? I don't got no Mr. Miyagi. Little Sid didn't have one. I didn't have that. The movie hadn't even come out yet. I couldn't even get inspiration to take him to the mat. Couldn't do it. It got resolved eventually. Too long, in my opinion. It was like 2 months. Traumatic. Don't like that. Not good at all. And yet, looking back, I probably subconsciously and then later consciously was like, that ain't happening again. Like, the discomfort of being in that place, that I'm not doing that anymore. And it began the work over the years of, you know, as unpleasant as it still is, but to confront when necessary, to strengthen myself so that I'm able to take things head on in a way that is reflective of me, ideally, which is, you know, calm and strong, truly strong, not angry, not violent, but just like taking this on, like getting this done before it gets worse, kind of deal, right? that's probably what could have happened. I was in sixth grade. I wish there had been a little more teacher slash parental involvement in terms of like after the first 4 days, like, okay, let's get this resolved because this is really bad. And instead it was a long time and I didn't dig that at all. So anyway, it's just the reason I bring it up is because partially it's because literally of the challenge of like, I've never talked about this and I decided to talk about it. It's not a joyful thing for me to talk about. There is a certain part of me that feels like I chickened out and I don't like that because it was sort of like time and place, man. That was not where I was then. I have gotten closer to where I am now at 50, but it's been years, right? But for years, like ever since I hit an adult, I was like, not doing this. I'm not letting that happen. I'm not letting that whole thing happen. Partly why I hate social media so much. I mean, what a great ground for bullying, right? Because you've got no repercussions to speak of. You know, you can just let those things fly. And so I'm still in this place where I'm just couldn't be happier that I dumped all that stuff and realizing that what I was craving was the social and not the social media. And I'm social. Like I'm talking to people and I sort of feel like if you have a photo of your family and it looks really good and it's something you would post, how about this? Email it to select people that are in your life that you love and respect and appreciate and aren't going to write you back nasty comments about how your child looks or whatever. You know, like just socialize. It can be done. Socialize. Okay? But let's talk about training. Because the bullying part of this, the reason why I started off with the bullying thing is because it began this, the training session that is, I think, life. And that sounds so trite and stupid. And I just wish I hadn't said that, but I'm too lazy to edit. But the training session that is life. We have, as adults, got to get over this thing of like, once I get here, then I'm done. Or once I make this, then I'm done. It is training. We are either in the driver's seat on that or we're being driven. And that's the fact is we are always in preparation. The behaviors of our day to day, if we have a victim mentality, if we think everyone's out to get us, if we look at everything through a filter of, you know, this person's this way and that person's that way, and we're categorizing, we're making assumptions for people, it is building the way we behave. It is feeding our action. And when we can make moves to be more conscious, then we are going to be doing that in a different way. We're going to catch ourselves before we're going to tell the little kid, can you shut your pie hole, which is what we should all tell little kids, and stop doing that because it's not feeding, it's not working for you. I mean, I'm going to say this, and I probably said it before, and I don't care. But I think as we sort of reach into the new year, and maybe it's a good time to take stock, but it's sort of like, I'm tired of the bullshit. You guys know that. I'm tired of talk when people are not living it. And I'm like, if you are talking a big game about your health and about your happiness and about this, you have opinions, blah, 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 and you're not living well, then guess what? Whatever you're doing is not working for you. And you don't want to admit it maybe because then you have to change and do what? Oh yeah, hard work. I don't want to hear it from you, but I also want you to realize, ask that question. Just before you make your next fancy New Year's resolution, is what I'm doing working for me? That's it. Is what I'm doing working for me? Because if it's not, then it doesn't mean everything you're doing isn't working for you, but maybe there are things you're doing and maybe the way you're looking at certain things simply aren't working for you. Maybe it's time for you to change the narrative, change the story of how you look at everything. Give people a little bit of benefit of the doubt. Have a sense of humor for crying out loud. Don't be on attack all the time. You have opinions and they're strong and that's great, but if they're bending you out of shape, if they're making you angry and upset and unhealthy and the stress of that is, then it's not working for you. And you're not doing anything for the world by being unhealthy and unhappy. Sorry, but you're not. That's just the argument I'm always gonna make. You're not doing anything for the world. And sometimes that's your intention. Like, I wanna stop these evils. Awesome. Do that by making yourself stronger and more in line with who you are. Be strong. Affect the world because you can affect the world. Be able, literally able, to affect the world. So, what I wanna talk about today is training. I call it training days, because this is the training of this. This is one of the truths that I talked about in the very beginning of three or four truths, and I haven't quantified it. There may be five. But one of them is that we cannot escape the hard work of this. We cannot escape the hard work. My opinion is that so much of what is out there in terms of the marketplace and everything else is simply our desire to find a solution to our desires that doesn't involve hard work. I mean, it's kind of like that if you think about it. It's like, is this thing going to save me from getting what I want without hard work? Is this going to deliver me this thing that I want without hard work? Okay, I'm buying. That's kind of one of the things. Like, as soon as we understand, oh, this is just hard work and there is going to be struggle in life and there is going to be things that suck, then we can sort of like not try to avoid it all the time. My next episode, I think, is going to be on protection, like protectionism. It's that thing. But spoiler alert, by the way, this is episode 30. Episode 30, nice round number. I'm getting up to 50. Once I hit 50, I'm just going to do one episode every year because I am 50. See, so I'm going to do 50, and then I'll do episode 51 when I turn 51. So on and so forth. Hope you're around when I do episode 127. I'm not doing announcements. You guys know that. So I'm getting to thank people who did the Patreon thing. And if you wanted to jump in, that'd be cool. And the reviews and everything else. So there's going to be this is a snippet of an announcement because it's time dependent. Check the show notes of this podcast because there are links always to where I'm speaking. I'm going to be in Arizona with the whole family in Sedona in a few weeks. I can't wait. It's going to be really fun. My kids are speaking on a panel. Is that the coolest thing? So they're flying us out there and putting us up. It's really cool. So fun. But the deal that I do with Matt Frazier, the Health Made Simple, is now like an 8-week challenge that happens throughout the year. The next one is happening on January 7th, and there's a big thing, like promotion thing going on. It's an 8-week live Q&As with me every week. Dig it? Okay, so in the links in the show notes to this episode, go and click on that thing and check it out. That's it. Okay? That's where I'm going with it. I said no announcements, but I was like, this is time dependent. I just got to kind of throw that out there because it's so cool. I'll be sending emails out to my mailing list too. Training days. I got a review one time, not a review. I got a comment on YouTube one time, and I was talking about this many moons ago, but not like this, but close. And it was, I think I was referencing my cold therapy of, you know, where I get into the cold and sort of going into stress like that and you know, moving to extremes in littler moments strengthens us because I believe it does. And the comment was, well, my life is already stressful, so why do I want to add? I'm not going to add. My job is already stressful, so I don't think it's going to help if I add stress on top of stress. And there is, so here's my thing on that. There is a qualitative difference between stress that we put ourselves into and stress that we're put into. So the training of this, it's like the difference in the, so one time I was in Tahoe in the winter. This is we rented a little house for 2 days, took the kids out there. And in Donner Pass, actually, Tahoe sounds way fancier, but this was like the low budget version. And so I had to go outside for a second and I was in bare feet and there was snow. And within 20 seconds, I was like, oh my God, this is so cold. My feet are cold. And yet that night, with the preparation of my cold therapy that I've done and been doing every day for almost, 2.5 years now, literally every single day, with all the breathing and things I did to prepare, I then that night go out, stand in the snow, bare feet, up to my calves in snow, in shorts, no shirt, nothing, no pants, nothing, for 12 minutes. And it's snowing at the time. And I'm standing out, same snow, but colder. 20-30 seconds before when I'm not prepared for it, 12 minutes later in the evening, I go for 12 minutes when I am prepared. There is a qualitative difference between putting yourself into a situation on purpose, preparing yourself mentally, and being thrown. The good news is the more that we can actually take conscious decision into this equation and put ourselves into these moments of stress, we strengthen our bodies so that the stress we're not necessarily prepared for doesn't affect us as much. We are raising the bar. You guys know I am all about the everyday. I think it's great to do challenges. And I, you know, there's days to this day, still to this day where there's things going on at work. And I'm like, I've run 50 miles like this. This is nothing I can. And I have that to draw on. Why? Because I set a goal and it was a big goal and I did it and I accomplished it. And I do draw off that in my own life nowadays, the things that I've accomplished. To say like, this is nothing. This is chump change. I've done, you know, big deal. So what I'm going to talk about today is what I'm going to call DIY stress. DIY stress versus out of control stress. Okay. Now, back in the days, social media, I would say hashtag DIY stress, hashtag DIY stress. But I'm not on social media. So it doesn't, you know, like you guys do that. And I'm kidding because I don't even want you to. I'm not, you don't do my social media for me. One time I was driving down my street and I picked up a hitchhiker. I don't do that anymore. It just was. And I live rural and he looked kind of okay. It was kind of a mistake. But anyway, he gets in the car. He's kind of this hippie guy and he's got kind of the, you know, the patchouli dreadlock thing going on that I love. And he got in the car and he, oh, hey, thanks, man. I said, no problem. And drove him down the street. And he goes, yeah, man, I mean, I don't own a car, man. I don't believe in cars. And I was like, I didn't say this out loud, but I'm like, you mean the car that I'm driving right now, you in? It's great to say you don't believe in cars but yet you need rides. If you don't believe in cars, don't freaking drive. How about that? Walk the whole time. Now you're walking the walk, literally. I don't believe in cars, but I need a ride from you. So it's like me saying, I don't need social media. Can you guys do the hashtagging for me? Don't. But I would, in theory, hashtag DIY stress, but I don't. Don't need to. Why? Too stressful. DIY stress versus out of control stress. You train, the training of this, and here's where I'm going to say, you know, I don't talk about a lot about my small steps things, but this is the idea and part of my philosophy and approach, which is when you train is dependent on your life. It is dependent on the stress of your life. And surely, if you have a stressful life, it would not behoove you to do ultra super stressful things outside of the already super stressful things in your life. In other words, if you have a very, very stressful job and you're working 14 hours a day, the stress, you know, going for a 3-hour run every day may just tank you down. And that's not good training. In other words, when you're anybody who's run a marathon knows, you don't train for a marathon by running a marathon every day. You don't. When I ran my 50K, I'd run 31 miles. Sorry, when I ran my first 50 miler, the longest I'd run was 31 miles. I'd never run over 31 miles. The day I showed up, I had 19 more than that to do. The training to affect change in a positive way of growth and adaptability and the effectiveness of your body and mind to do these things does not occur by beating the shit out of yourself every day and doing and mocking the stress in your life every day. It is bits of jumping into this and thing and doing this thing and little bits of stress in the training, conscious stress. You have to understand that when we do the DIY stress is not as stressful as the life stress. Why? Because you're in charge of it. You're infusing the DIY stress. So it's never, even the moments of, or even taking a run is never going to be as stressful. You know, it's like going in the cold, somebody throwing me into a cold shower when I don't want to go in a cold shower is going to be way, way brutal compared to me going into a cold shower like I did yesterday. And it's cold up here now. It's, you know, 30s at night and I'm on a well. So I'm getting into a cold shower. It's cold, like super cold. It's different. Same shower, different. So the DIY stress is not only that you are training your body, but you're also, you are not, you know, abusing your body because it's you, it's DIY. You're doing it yourself because you're doing it in a way that works for you and you're testing the waters and you're in an attentive mode. You're paying attention to this. It is DIY stress is just substantively not going to be as stressful as life. So that when life hits, however, when the things in life that maybe you don't want and that you're definitely not control over and probably don't have a lot of time to prepare for, you are stronger in that moment. You're tougher. You're resilient. You're less reactive. You're not getting bent out of shape. And I love the term getting bent out of shape. It's perfect. It's like perfect. It makes sense to me. I got all bent out of shape. It means the stress of that situation made you not who you are. That's what that says. And so the more you can be who you are, the more you can strengthen your shape, the less chances you're going to get bent out of shape. Guess what? By stupid stuff on the frickin' internet, right? So you're going to be like, yeah, whatever. Boom. Let me get back to the business of changing the world, right? So for the better. And so the DIY stress, the putting yourself, the training, the daily, never a day off, never a day off. Does this mean taking a 4-hour run every day? No, but it means a 7-day a week for the rest of your life, moments of, and how you define those moments is based on your life, moments of DIY stress, moments of jumping down, doing a few push-ups or sit-ups or whatever, moments of journaling, things that are not, you know, going for a run when you're tired, but you want to and you don't want to at the same time. I mean, it's so weird. We've got these constant, I want to and I don't want to. Well, who wins that battle? Who wins that battle? On any given day, the person who wins that battle is going to be a result of how tired you are and how fatigued you are and how strong you've made yourself. And that changes and evolves over time. Never to the point where you're like, yes, I got it. But it just, you get to watch that beautiful change over time. And then eventually you die. If we get over this idea of I've got to, you know, get this challenge done and I'm all set forever. A challenge is a great thing and it's on the way. And if you can be in the right mindset, you can learn things that can then help you implement an even better life based on what you did. Amazing. You rest on your laurels, bummed. And if you don't challenge, so there's the peak challenge is fine. If you don't do the daily training, if you are not training yourself daily, you will get soft. As I've said 1,000 times, technology is making us soft. And it is not deterring us from creating, guess what, more soft-inducing freaking technology. We're not saying like, okay, let's do technology that makes hard work harder. Let's make technology that tests us. That's not a lot of technology. A lot of technology is how to do less, create less effort. I mean, just, you know, the fancier cars, the luxury items, the amenities in fancier cars, guess what? It's for us to feel more comfort, less work. You know, the Rolls Royce, I was just watching a video because I'm a dork about car. I love car. I don't have money to buy cars, but if I did, I totally probably would have too many cars. Anyway, there's like a Rolls Royce SUV and it has trays that come down automatically. That's what we do. We think luxury is things being done for us so we don't have to move. Guess what's happening to us? Gosh, is it a surprise that that's happening to us? Huh? Everything we do technologically is self-driving cars. The camera that we reverse, I don't want to have to turn around and look out my back window. That's crazy. Maybe it's safer. I don't know, but it's just a weird thing. We're not actually a weird species in our design. Every species is totally looking for the allostasis, homeostasis, kind of more balanced, less acute stress state. It's just that we have these brains to figure out how to totally take that to the next level, to the point where we're actually tanked, to the point where we're actually living in a world that we are becoming weaker within. That's gnarly. There have been times of late, for whatever reason, like at work, and I think in my head, I don't say this out loud, you guys, but in my head, I'm like, oh my God, you would totally get eaten in the wild. Isn't that horrible? Is that horrible that I say that? I think the world is getting, in a way, wilder in a very different way, but we're in a wild world and we have to toughen up. I feel like the best of us, like the people who have compassion and are looking out for people that have been oppressed, and are trying to we understand the wrongs and we're not trying to go like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I mean, that stuff drives me nuts. But I sort of feel like the best of us in terms of ethics and conviction are sometimes the weakest of us action-wise. And that's a disservice to the world. We see the inequity in the world. We see the harm. And yet we're not sufficiently training ourselves to harden and toughen in a way that can actually take it on for real. We go to social media and go, you're dumb for saying that, as if that's going to change anybody except for make you weaker as a person who would do that. And that's another chink in the armor, man. It just takes you down when you have that kind of anger and vitriol and you're just going after people all the time. You're not going after yourself. You're not taking on yourself. You are, get into training, start training, fight the soft, hashtag fight the soft. But just take the hashtag off. Hashtags were better when they were part of a swear word that you couldn't write and you would just put the hashtag in that swear word. Like @! Hashtag ampersand. That's the best use of hashtag that I've seen in years or ever. Mm. the training of this is I want to talk about it because it is interesting to me as I'm reading about stress more and more and the body's response to it and just, you know, what the body's doing when it's not in stress versus what it is doing when it is in stress and how chronic peaks of stress affect our mood. And I'm looking at the world and I'm like, my God, if we could lower the stress, man, there would be a lot more compassion, a lot more kindness. I mean, it's just kicking our butts and we're just in this kind of fight it off mode all the time. And the internet, social media said, oh, this is perfect. All these people are getting more stressed, more angry. Let's create a platform where they can express it with no accountability at all. Let's get the weakest of us going on attack all the time because they don't have to actually deal with their own shit. So let's create that thing. And that's what's happened. And I'm out. I was out. You know I was out. It's DIY stress. If you are going into the new year and you are saying to yourself, gosh, I think I want to do a New Year's resolution. Whatever you choose to do, whatever you choose to do, if it's losing weight, because that's the biggest thing, fine. First of all, maybe try to reframe that and go one step deeper and say, what am I really looking for? Like, do I want to feel good? Instead of losing something, do I want to feel good? Do I want to be strong? I want to strengthen myself. Make it kind of general. It's okay. You want to know why? Because whatever you really, really want, you always want to keep it. You don't want to get it and lose it. You want to keep it, in which case you're going to have to be an adult about it. You're going to have to be the big boy and big girl to say, okay, fine, I want to lose weight, or what I really want is to feel good in my body and look good to me and feel strong and capable. And that's going to take a while. That's going to take a while. Boy, those things look attractive, but it's going to take a while. I better get into training on this. I better get the training going on this. I better get used to doing things in the moment that I don't want to do, but the big picture person does want to do. That's the deal. How do I figure out how to get up tomorrow morning when I do not feel in the moment like getting up tomorrow morning, but last night I said, I totally want to get up tomorrow morning and run. How do I get over that more often than not? How do I deal with that more effectively and more successful than not? How do I do that? That's the challenge, you guys. That is the challenge. As you go into the new year, think about that. Think about DIY stress. Think about becoming stronger, tougher, what that really means in your life, what it means to stand up for something, what it means to have principle and be able to live by it. Otherwise, don't waste your time. What does that really mean? What does that mean? What can you put yourself into to strengthen? What can you do starting right now when you're listening to this thing, whenever you're listening to it? Get the knowledge, act on the knowledge. 99% of the challenge is acting on that knowledge, just so you guys know. One good New Year's resolution, take what you know and do something with it. How about that? Okay? And then you can kind of go like, how do I get this? I had moments of DIY stress. DIY stress. I'm going to say it again. DIY stress. Don't hashtag it. Take it. The elite group of people who listen to this podcast, and by elite, I mean relatively small number. Happy New Year, guys. Huh? Happy New Year. I'm going to finish up with a, you know, I love the Cardi B. You guys know that, right? You know, I did a whole episode on Cardi B many moons ago. I'm going to leave you with a quote from her song because I feel like it encapsulates my philosophy more than anything else I've ever read or written. And so I will bid you guys adieu and Happy New Year to you all. And please keep coming back here and listening to the podcast and YouTubes and all that kind of stuff. And we'll keep the fight going, won't we? All right, you guys, here's Cardi B. I like boarding jets. I like morning sex, but nothing in this world that I like more than checks. Money. Boom. I'll see you guys. Thank you.
a hand now. She lives out of house, wanders for a while, hitches herself a ride with no right place in mind. Only knows it's her time. She walks gingerly, right in place and time, with the right place in mind. She wears a hair long, she wears a hair long, she climbs out of house with a will that is strong, always a pen in her. Stops and draws where she stands, looks for moments to steal, 'cause the freedom for free. Cars wander back, she's shy, maybe much on her mind, for which they don't have time. She wears a hat long, wears a hair.